actually going to get into our sermon, but just before we do that, I'd just like to say we're really, really, really grateful to have all the generations with us today. But if your very small people get a bit wriggly, it's okay to take them to the creche, because we do have a couple of creche workers that are on today. Okay, so you might remember that we've been talking an awful lot about the book of Ephesians. Now, the book of Ephesians, that we can find it where, kids? Do you remember? Oh, no, we're a bit silent today. It's in the New Testament. Now, the Ephesians, it was actually written by a guy called Paul, and he actually wrote it first as a letter. And that letter went out, and it arrived at a place called Ephesus, and it went to the people who were believing and following Jesus at the time. Now, we've talked an awful lot about that stuff that's already in the letter. We've talked about how God had this plan to reconnect his people together, and that plan came together through Jesus. We talked about how it was a great mystery, but now it had been revealed, and it was revealed in Paul, someone who considered himself the least of all God's people. Yet he was the one to continue on telling the Ephesians about this good news of the gospel in Jesus. We've also seen how through Jesus and how through the power of his Holy Spirit, even those people who were so different and really didn't like each other very much, the Jews and the Gentiles, even they could come to Jesus and find peace and be united and be together as God's people. And what did they do to deserve all this? Absolutely nothing. Because nothing we could ever do or we could ever say would be good enough for us to connect to Jesus. So that is why God made it a free gift for all who want to accept it. So today, we are looking at the next part in Ephesians. This is Ephesians chapter 3, 14 to 21. And this is what it says just in those first few verses in 14 to 17a. Paul starts out and says, "For this reason." So this reason encompasses all those things we've just talked about. So for this reason, Paul says, "I kneel before the Father." Now, one thing about kneeling before the Father you might not know is back in those days, it wasn't a common thing to kneel before God. People used to stand up and they used to pray standing up. But Paul felt this prayer was so important that he decided the only way he could do it was to drop to his knees and call out to Almighty God. He then goes on, "From whom every family in heaven on earth derives its name." God is the creator. God made us, everyone in our family and in all families. And then he says, "I pray out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with the power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Paul prays for God's people to know and experience Jesus and his love for them so deeply that they need the help and the power of the Spirit to be able to do that in faith. Wow, what an awesome love. I really want my family to know that love, all of my family. So, Karen has made these awesome, awesome hearts. You would have received one as you came in the door. Now, what these are going to do is they are going to be a symbol of our prayer to to for God's love to be known by everyone in our family as well. But we don't want to just include our own families. We also want to include those who are beyond Jesus yet. So if there's families that you can think of that need Jesus and need God's real love in their life, I'm going to ask you to put your family name on there, but also the family name that you'd really like to know Jesus' love as well. So what we're going to do is once we've written on them, we're going to pass them down to the end of the row, and then we're going to have some lovely volunteers who are going to go and place them on the cross for us. And this is a symbol of our prayers going up to him who is able to do immeasurably more than we can ask or imagine. So as we do that, we'll do that right now as I pray, and we'll collect them up as we sing. So let's just pray. Dear Lord, this amazing love that Paul talks about in his prayer, Lord, I want to know that love myself. I want every single person in my family to know that love. I also want those who are yet to hear of you and yet to know about you to know that love. Lord, I know there are so many people within this room that want to pray that prayer for others as well, Lord, and for themselves. We just lift this all up to you, Lord, and ask you, because we know how much you can do. We know you can do so much more than we can in our own strength. So we lift it up to you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.
Grab a seat and open up your Bibles again, back to Ephesians 3, where we continue with verse 17. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now I want to continue. If you've got your hearts, please feel free to put your hands up and people will come and get them, because we want to get everyone's name on that cross. Because as we look at the cross, it reminds us of what we have been saved from and saved into. How we have been adopted and brought into the family of God. This is all because of the love of Christ. It is in and through Christ's love that we gather here today. And Paul's desire is that we as a people, as a church, will be a people who demonstrate love to others, because we are a people, a church, that has been loved. This new humanity is God's family, whose members are brothers and sisters, whose love for their heavenly Father and love for one another overflows. Or at least this is what Paul longs for. This is what he prays for. And to express how much Paul longs for their love to be a key fruit experienced by the church, he combines these two metaphors that we read: rooted and established. And it's meant to show that this love, it's not meant to be this superficial, surface level love. It's a healthy, living, growing love, like a well-rooted tree. It's a stable and robust love, like a house built on a solid foundation. And in both cases, the unseen cause of their growth and their stability is love. Love is to be the soil in which we grow, in which we root our lives. Love is to be the foundation in which we build our lives. And Paul wants us to know that this love is both foundational and radical. You see, the magnitude of Christ's love is radical. It's all-encompassing. We have power. We have power to comprehend these dimensions of Christ's love only when we grasp them together. As I said, we are doing things differently, so I want everyone, if you're able, to stand up. Children, you can stand on your chairs. I would love you. Come on, come on. Woo. Stand up and grab the person next to you. We are imposing on personal boundaries this morning. All right, you can put your arm around them, grab their arm, grab their hand, however it looks. Get close to people you don't know. There's no better way to welcome someone than to hug them. We can now. Just, you can hug them. Yes, good to see the kids at the back stood on their chairs. Excellent. Now I want everyone, look as far to your right as you can. All right, taking in all the people that are there. And now as your gaze shifts across to the left, take in all the people that you see. Now look up at me. And then shift your gaze backwards as to the back of the room and take in everyone. Yeah, you can turn your head, Pete, if you want. You don't have to. A Christian in isolation, on our own, we might begin to grasp something of the love of Jesus when we look at how it's transformed our own lives. But we're limited by our limited experience. When we combine our experience with other people's experiences, when we combine our stories with other people's stories of how God has transformed my life and your life and your life and your life and your life, we begin to finally grasp the love of God. Now, feel free to sit down. Feel free to keep holding onto one another. That's fine. Now if you haven't seen it, you're in for a treat. But to further my point, hopefully give a bit of context to my point, I want to watch a video. And so Karen's artwork, if you haven't seen it, please enjoy this. Wow. So that is part of a series of artworks that we're doing for this Ephesians series. Thank you so much, Karen, for allowing me to use that wherever you are. Like Karen's artwork, when it begins, we think, okay, that's cool. Pair of hands, nice. But we're not overly awed. But then as it progresses, as details are added, as it becomes more complex, we begin to see how incredible it is. We begin to properly comprehend its beauty. The complexity, when we finally get to see the whole of Karen's painting, we stand there or we sit here and we are in awe, exclaiming, wow, this is incredible. When the whole picture comes together, how amazing is this? It's far beyond what I could have imagined when I first just saw the outline of two hands. So to begin to fully grasp the magnitude of Christ's love and what it has accomplished, we need the whole people of God. We need the whole people of God to understand the whole love of God. All the saints together, Jews and Gentiles, men and women, young and old, black and white, with our varied backgrounds and circumstances and experiences. People of all kinds who have been brought back from death to life, from sin to salvation, who can join their own voice to the voice of the collective, proclaiming the love of Jesus Christ. Even as we comprehend the love of Christ together, although again, we, you know, here, we start to comprehend its dimensions to some extent, but Paul tells us, we still cannot know just how grand this love is. Think about how many people that are alive in the world today whose lives are being transformed by the love of Christ that you have not met. And now think about all the people throughout history who have been transformed by the love of Christ. And now think about all the people that are yet to come and yet to know the transformative power of Jesus Christ, are yet to know his love. Everyone in the history of the world that has been brought and that will be brought from death to life, this is the love of Christ. The love of Christ is too wide, too long, too deep, too high, even for all of us here to grasp. It surpasses understanding. Look around you. We are but a glimpse of those who are found in, rooted in, established in, justified and redeemed in the love of Christ. Christ's love is beyond comprehension. Now, Paul most likely wasn't describing the dimensions of the cross when he used the words that he did. But when we gaze upon the cross and we see the horizontal and the vertical beams, we are reminded that the love of Christ is wide enough to encompass all of mankind. The love of Christ is long enough to last for eternity. The love of Christ is high enough to exalt even us. And the love of Christ is deep enough to reach even the most depraved sinner. Paul wants you to know the vastness of the love of Christ, to know how he loved and loves, and to experience Christ's love in loving him and loving others for his sake. Why does Paul want us so badly to understand this love? Why do we keep on harping on about this love, a love that surpasses understanding? Paul says, so that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Paul wants the reality of what we are positionally in Christ's love to be fully grasped, to be fully realized and experienced and lived out. Being a people who are grounded in and have experienced Christ's love for us, we become a people who with Christ dwelling in us, live out this love. We're filled with Christ's love, his joy, his peace, his patience, his kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. And we live out and demonstrate these attributes to one another and those around us. We are filled up to overflowing that we can't help but reveal Christ to those around us in our lives and in the collective. Christ's love being so deeply known, and so lived out in the practical outworking of Christ's love and lordship in our lives. That we, the church, are swept up in and our lives become part of Christ's radical reconciliation and restoration of all things on this grand cosmic scale, bringing new creation harmony with God. This is Paul's prayer. It's an incredible prayer. And I think it gets even better, but that's not my part. Let me just quickly pray. Thank you, Lord, for this. Thank you for your word, and thank you that we can begin to know your love, and yet even then it goes beyond. God, help us to be a people who know your love and live in your love and live out your love. We pray. Now, Vince is going to help me. We are going to put... Oh, it's done. Amazing. And Jody, I'm not actually going to do anything. Going to watch, supervise. It's an important job. Yep, good work. Yeah, just try and get it in. You can be the best supervisor and still... No, it is hard. We tried earlier. It's very hard.
That's pretty cool. I just want to say a quick hello to Warren and Bridget there. Stubbs from Gisborne. I actually met Warren in Gisborne on my summer placement down there a couple of years ago, so here we are. Kids, haere mai ki konei, come on up. You know the drill, come on, it's not been that long. Come on guys, come on. Haere mai, haere mai. Come down here, everybody else can see me down here. Ethan, you're still back for more. Come down here. So I've got some words here. Have a seat with me. Not that with me. Jump down there. Yeah. Otherwise you're all gonna be. Yeah. Okay. Cool. Not that I don't like being high, but you guys can generally see me, I hope. So we've been saying some words each week throughout the series. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. And to be honest, when I read that this week, I was kind of like, I read that pretty kind of boringly, eh? None of you look very enthralled at me reading that, to be honest. So, but when I looked at these words, I couldn't help but feel just a sense of awe. And so I said to myself, well, Vince, when you read this, where is the awe? Where is the glory? Where is the imagination, the immeasurably more, the power at work within us, and the forever and ever for all generations? Where was that when I was reading this? Yeah, shrugged my shoulders for sure. Because I think our ability to be in awe, to stand arrested or sit arrested in glory, just absolutely stunned by glory, our imagination kind of, in my opinion, gets stamped out of us. I don't know what all you guys think, but kind of. Because kids, you guys have got it good, I reckon. This is what you guys have got it good on your imaginations. But I don't know how many parents are going to appreciate me saying this. But I reckon school kind of stamps it out of us, this imagination thing. So art, actual question to you guys, art class, what's the first thing that comes to your head when you have to be told to draw something? What do you have to draw? A picture, a tree. Okay, a tree, all right. So we have to draw a tree, but you're probably told to draw a tree in this way, with these colors, with certain kind of, and you have to reduce it all in. But I want to draw a tree that's like growing out of a unicorn, when the unicorn's like eating an apple or something, and is playing a harmonica at the same time, and flying through space. But no, I can't draw that. And now hopefully you've got a bit of a weird picture of a unicorn in your heads. But, I mean, How do we rate that sort of imagination when it comes to God? Well, Paul says even our best imagination doesn't stack up to what God can achieve through us. And as Matt just said, as us collectively, we just can't. But what does Paul say? That God can do more than we can't even, imagine. How? By his power that is at work within us. If you know Jesus, you have the power of the Holy Spirit in you. And through Jesus, Jody talked about kneeling before the Father. Through Jesus, we have this communion with the Father. Now my mind is, right? This is outrageous. That in itself is more than I can imagine, if I'm honest. And I had an absolute sense of awe when I was looking at these verses. Paul kneeling there, declaring these words. The sense of awe. Now, I'm a city guy, and I suspect there might be some kind of country more-ish around here. Well, you pretend to be in the bush anyway, but I was in New York, because New Zealand doesn't know how to do big cities, but I was in New York, right? Central Park, massive park in the middle of big, massive city. And I was walking along in the middle of this bush, and I was like, I'm from New Zealand, bush, whatever, you know, that's not that special. But I was walking along and came over this little rise, and then I was just stunned. I was in awe of the glory of God because of this massive lake that was there, and it probably wasn't actually that massive, but it felt massive. And it was just incredible. I was just dumbfounded at what I could see in awe of God through creation here. But if I was to ask, are you arrested in glory? Are you lost in your imagination of God? Anyone? Maybe? Be cool if you are. Because within this glory and imagination, guys, comes God's work within us. And that work both gives and is glory to God. The Spirit within us, in Christ. And a genuine question, do you believe that Christ is in you by the Spirit? If Christ isn't, or if you aren't sure if you are in Christ, come talk to myself or Matt or Jody or the welcome team. Because this power that is at work within us that Paul speaks of, that is able to do more than we ask or imagine, guys, the Spirit of God is ready to be in you if you are willing. And for those of us that have the Spirit in us, is it a big deal? Yes, I think so, you know. But, I mean, some of you might have been here for Christmas last year. Were you here for Christmas, maybe, around at church? It felt like about 6 years ago now, just last Christmas. But something on that day I thought was a big deal. It was a big deal that was here on Christmas Day. I'm asking you, do you know what the big deal was that I'm thinking of? Jesus' birthday? Accurate, yeah. What's that? Jesus' birthday. Yeah, you guys are all pinging the answers on Christmas Day. I'm talking about something that actually happened here. That I was in, yep, birthday, yep. But, so there's this verse. Some of you might know have been in Tatadangi a while. 1 Samuel 2:30. There's a part of that that says, those who honor me, I will honor. And I was leading that day and didn't have a music team on, but I kind of asked just for a keyboard to be set up in the profuse prayer that someone was going to turn up that day to be able to play the keyboard. Judy Nichols walks in, and I'm like, great, Judy, because I've seen her play at Evergreens, you can play keyboard. And she says to me, oh, I would, but I've got gout so bad in my hand, I can barely take the weight of a sheet. I was like, oh, no worries. And I think actually Andy prayed for her that morning at some point and like laid hands on her, and so is that right? On that hand, yeah. but she told me that verse, 1 Samuel, those who honor me, I will honor, was so key for her. And if you were here that day, I mean, she played with me, and it's pretty hard to carry my tone deafness, but she did, and more. It was amazing, awe-inspiring. It was a glorifying morning. Awe, glory, imagination, immeasurably more than I could have hoped for, Spirit's power at work forever and in all generations, includes you guys, everything that I'm saying here, forever and ever. And Paul here, as Jody was saying, Paul wrote this, is big picture, but with each of you in it, each and every one of you are in this picture. To him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus. This is you, church. Jody talked about the family of God. We are in Christ. Matt talked about seeing how much and big God is and how much he does not throw us as an individual, but we all just linked, connected to one another by this awesome God that we serve. His power in us by the Spirit. I mean, clearly you can tell it gets me a little bit fizzing, right? Are we all kind of, you know, whoo, yeah? It's not just standing here saying, there's nothing wrong with this, it's not just standing here saying, glory, glory to you, God. Nothing wrong with that. But God's glory revealed in us, all of us, you guys included, through all generations, past, present, future, God is glorified in the church. Father, Son, Spirit are glorified, who we are connected to through Jesus, and according to his power at work in us, does more than we can imagine or ask. So be encouraged if you can. All generations present, that our awesome God is glorified beyond understanding through all that you do, the church, forever and ever. Glory to him who is God. Amen? Amen. Let me pray as the music team come up. God, thank you for what you have brought to us today, that you are speaking to each and every one of us. We've got like 100 years of difference in age here. That is outrageous. Thank you for the work that you do in us. Thank you for the glory that all that we do at school, at home, at work, at the supermarket, at the playground, at a friend's house, glorifies you. We pray for those families that we wrote on the hearts. We pray that they may know you, God. Amen.